This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today, I'm lucky enough to be joined by Nisa Kwezumi, who joins us from Digital Waitaha. I came in touch with Nisa because she was at my child's school doing a remarkable presentation on how we can keep our kids safe online without being too strict and too anxious. And it was actually really useful for me. I used what she talked about inside of my own home with my child, and so I thought I must have her here. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space,
and it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. Thank you so much for being here with me. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me here today,
Anna. Oh, you're really welcome. And so I have experience of your mahi, and but it's best coming from you, let's face it. So tell me about Digital Waitaha.
Well, Digital Waitaha, I think we've been around now for about 2 years, but it came from the fact that when my kids started their online journey, that there was really nothing out there in that preventative space to keep them safe online. Because we kind of found out the hard way that despite the fact that I come from IT, and despite the fact that I have 20 years of IT experience and kind of thought I had this digital parenting thing in the bag, that my kids were way more clever than me already. They were already figuring out ways to find that one device that didn't have the parental controls, and were basically watching YouTube videos all night long. So it was a big eye-opener for me, first in the sense that if I'm supposed to be digital literate and I'm struggling, how is the average parent, when this is so brand new, I'm supposed to figure all this out? So I went back to my roots, started off as a researcher from The Ohio State University, and started researching. And so that's kind of the genesis of the trust. I started off working with parents, and then went directly to working with kids. And then what you saw when you saw me at the school that we were at, it was just after a day being in class with all those wonderful tamariki and getting insights into what they think are the issues online, and then being able to present that back to parents. So,
yeah, it was a really nice format, wasn't it? Because we had their voice inside of that too. And you were lucky enough to hear, their insights and also their experiences, which then you were able to relay to us in a way that didn't freak us out so much as it would if it came from the voice of a babe.
Yes. Yes. And I think what we're trying to do really is demystify everything so that we're not freaked out. Mm. And I can see, because I don't think there's ever been a time ever in history where one generation, where the younger generation has known so much more about a topic than their parents.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard, I think, if we're the adults in the room, aren't we supposed to be the one that knows the most or not knowing what we don't know? But at the same time, I think that's really what separates us from any other people that are doing this, and that we went straight to the young people. So starting in about, with the year 11, 12, 13 students, started doing focus groups in Mid-Canterbury with different students to find out what it was that they needed help with online, what they had to figure out on their own online, and what resources they wished that they had. And so that's what we were able to put that together, put some research back behind it, and then we created the resources, and then also the program that we created. So it's a really wonderful experience to be able to almost amplify, I think, a lot of time, the youth need and the youth voice and what it is that we're doing, because it would not be possible without the large amount of young people that are working with us with the trust.
Mm, cool. So if anyone wanted to be in touch with you and have you through their school or gone, how would they contact you?
So our website is digitalwaitaha.org.nz, and then, of course, they can contact me through that, or Nisa, N-E-Y-S-A, at digitalwaitaha.org.nz is our email address. And so we have the parent presentation. We have the in-school program, but we also have many other things that we do as well. And what we do at the college level or at the high school level is quite a bit different than what we do at the primary level, because primary, we're really in that preventative space.
Yeah.
And as we get into college, we're really looking at taking those young people to become leaders and that digital ambassador leaders, where they can give back some of their knowledge to help the younger students and also younger, hopefully, depending on how the schools are structured, they could be helping younger students within their own school or going into the primary schools that feed into the college as well. And then also in the college level, we do what's an Ask a Digital Expert program, an Ask a Nangatahi program, where we pair up our wonderful, amazing young people with the Komatua in the community, with our esteemed elders, so they can sit down and get one-on-one advice for digital device. And it's just such a wonderful community builder. Everybody gets so much out of it. It's usually 45 minutes of them really actually working on a problem, like how do I use Facebook? How do I take a photo and save it to my email? How do I turn on my phone? To wonderful stories being told. And this just wonderful intergenerational gathering over Kai, where everybody is just getting along. And it's just such a beautiful thing. So, yeah.
It sounds like a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Yay.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
Just to go back about the reason I brought you in here was I'd seen you speak at the school, and it was a very warm feeling that I got from you, and you know, a clear respect for the kids, and that you'd been working with that day. And it felt to me like I had a golden opportunity to open up a conversation with my 8-year-old. And I hadn't had the conversation with my 8-year-old, which is interesting. It's almost like I sort of expected her to know how to keep herself safe in some ways. And I guess the other thing is, too, is that I'm quite a busy person.
Most parents are, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is as well is that I had rules around her use of tech and device, and it just felt like what had happened was slowly over time those had loosened up. And so it felt like a really nice opportunity to go and chat to her again about that stuff. And so I opened the conversation up about you, and you'd come into the school, and I talked to her about her internet usage, and said to her that my biggest concern actually was around YouTube. And I asked her whether or not she'd seen anything that worried her, and she had.
Yes.
And I had to put aside all my feelings around that and just hear her story of what had happened, and me let her know that actually it's my responsibility to keep her safe, and she hadn't done anything wrong. We talked over the strategies that you had given them that day as well to let her know what to do, and she had actioned those and put them into place.
Fantastic.
But I also wanted to be able to say to her, hey, I know this has happened for you, and I don't want this to feel like a punishment, but it is my job to keep you safe. And I don't like YouTube, and it makes me feel uncomfortable you having access to it. And so together we agreed that we would basically ban it, but she can come back to it for dancing, because that's where she likes to learn dance moves and things like that. So she asks permission. And you know what? It's never been an issue since. It's like she appreciates that there's some boundaries in place. And yeah, it was a very connecting conversation. And just for me as a parent, you know, like, she obviously felt some guilt around stuff. I immediately felt guilt around stuff because, you know, that's our job as parents. But actually it was nice to kind of just, you know, acknowledge that, take responsibility for what I could take responsibility for, and then kind of like, and come up with a really good plan.
And forgive yourself. And that's really a huge tip. I mean, we are the first generation of parents parenting digital citizens.
Yeah.
So of course we're going to make mistakes, and we need to learn to forgive ourselves, because our kids are going to make mistakes as well too. And so practicing forgiving ourselves, selfless practice forgiving our kids. And the biggest thing, and that's what your daughter really got out of this, is that she knows that you have her back. Mm-hmm. So knowing that she can come to you going forward. And also what you described is really be in our best techniques, and that's boundary creation. And a lot of times when we're talking to parents about online parenting strategies, it's like, you're already doing it. You're already doing this offline. You've got the offline parenting strategies going. Just apply them online. Just like with your daughter, you probably have rules around whose house she's allowed to go to, how long she's allowed to be there, and then if she wants to go someplace else, that she needs to talk to you. And that's exactly what you've done with the YouTube. You're allowed to go and watch dance videos. If you want to go to another channel, you need to talk to me. And it's those boundaries about where you can go online. If you want to then go to another website, or if you want to go and do something else, just like if you wanted to go to another friend's house, contact us. Make sure that we're aware of the friend's house that you're going to and where it is and what it's like. And then also, this is talking with younger people as well. You know, for the younger students, obviously, there's a lot more leeway as the students get older and younger people get older. Just having those rules in place. And it does, there's so much comfort in our young people knowing that there's rules in place as well, too.
Yeah, exactly. And it was actually much easier than I thought it was going to be. I wasn't waiting anything. I just followed the steps. I put on some controls from my end and had that conversation. And yeah, and it's been, it was so easy, just so easy.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's great to hear.
yeah, I know. And that's why you're here. What do you reckon the things that we do need to be most aware of with our kids who are these digital natives? So you're saying treat their online world much like we treat their outside ordinary world. Is there anything else as well?
Put the boundaries in place. That's really good. Effective communication, which is our E in our best techniques. We have S, which is just self-positivity, and T, the family values. You use those to guide a plan that you use when you're creating a plan with your kids and what they can and can't do online. But the big thing is to do it from the very first moment they start using a device. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with our digital safety strategy of stop, block, and talk. The idea is, you know, you already know when you go to cross the road, are you even thinking about the cross the road safety strategy that you learned when you were little itty bitty? You just know what to do. You know, we stop, look, and listen. Our parents didn't wait until we were almost hit by a bus to teach us how to cross the road safely. And that's the same idea with stop, block, and talk. Because like you said, they are watching YouTube videos. They are watching Netflix. They are watching preschool. So everybody's online and everybody's online by themselves. So putting in that safety strategy from the get-go is the way to go.
So stop, block, and talk is a really nice way to introduce kids to this. So then what you did was you gave us a language between me and my child. So stop what you're doing and block, or get somebody else to block that from ever occurring again, or that site or that whatever, and then talk to somebody about it to keep yourself safe. Yeah.
And what's great about that is if you actually think about when you're online, you're doing this strategy. And the strategy evolved from working with the young people and finding out what it was that they were doing. Obviously, the high school students we talked to weren't going, I'm stop, blocking, and talking. But it was the actions that they took. And then we distilled it down to stop, block, and talk. And because we wanted to create a strategy that worked from the moment you got a device, just like the moment you brought your little one out to the street to cross the road to, you know, to the last time we use a device. So it's just as simple as, you know, if you're watching something online, so you take for your little preschool person, your year one, year two student, if you're watching something online and it makes you feel scared, you know, your tummy feels a little yucky, stop what you're doing, block yourself from doing it again until you have a chance to talk to your trusted adult. And so that's a great time for them and for parents to sit down and figure out who are your trusted adults, both at home, both at school, and at school. Who do you have other caregivers that come in? What other fano are your trusted adult? And so that the young person knows who they can go to at any given time. But that strategy evolves too as they start interacting. Do you remember from the presentation what year students are starting to interact with other people online? about 50%.
Tinsy winces.
Yeah, it was year two student. Yeah. So by year two, they're on Roblox. They're on these games where they're able to interact with strangers online. So how it evolves is that stop what you're doing. So if they're being mean to you, if they're asking you to click on a link to go to another site, if they're asking you for that personal information that you're not supposed to share with strangers, stop. If you need to, sometimes stop, block, and talk always isn't in that order. Something might feel not right. Mm. Trust your gut. Go to your parents or your trusted adult, and they might come back and say, hey, why don't we block this? So we'll block, we'll report the user, and then, you know, talk to whatever group we need to, because this can evolve into digital harm and what we can do in situations where you might be dealing with bullying or you might be dealing with intimate photos and stuff being shared as well, too. So stop, block, and talk is going to be that, we're hoping it's that catch-all that you can use in any situation. You just think about it before you go online. It's that pause that you can have so that you always know what to do so that you're safe and well every time you go online.
Mm, yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, this is a problem, if you like, that's not going to go away. Right. So, you know, as much as we put in some boundaries, something can always get through on that as well. Yeah, so we're going to continue to have this problem reoccur. So if they've got a strategy where they can come to us and open that conversation, all the better. That's a strategy for life, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it could actually be used in many different ways because it does,
that's right.
It does give you that pause. And sometimes it's just, sometimes we need that extra few seconds before we make a decision.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's all about keeping communication open with our children, isn't it? And not coming at this with any kind of shame or wrongdoing or, or any of that stuff. It's really important. It's so important.
Absolutely. And I hate to break it to you as well. You can't just do it once and you're done.
Right.
It's one of those things that as your young people evolve and what boundaries you need to set with one child might be completely different than another child. I know in our house, in some ways, we were reversed. Our youngest got privileges before our oldest in, at least age-wise, because they were ready for some things. Mm. And that's a big thing to point out there, too, is that a lot of the age limits that are on these apps, they are basically just kind of made up. There wasn't a whole lot of research being done on, let's say, okay, all 13-year-olds are going to be okay to use Snapchat, because they didn't really understand the unintended consequences of kids using our apps. So it's as new things come out, you don't have to be the expert in the room. You don't even have to know how the app works. It's just ensuring that those levels of communication are open between you and your child, just in case something new comes up on that.
Yeah, and continuing to check in with them to make sure they're feeling okay about their online world and that you're there if they need you.
Yeah. And because we also, those of us in the room here, probably over the age of 25, so
how dare you?
Just a little bit, possibly. So we are talking about it being online and offline.
Yeah.
But our young people, they don't see it as online and offline. It's just their world.
I know. They see it like air, don't they?
Yeah. It's just
this
what
is
it
my
is.
World.
Yeah. And so that's one of the tough jobs that I have to do is to convince the people that are slightly older than 25 that, you know, when we talk about safety, it needs to include digital safety.
Yeah.
And when we talk about well-being,
yeah,
it needs to include digital well-being.
Yeah. I like, too, that your strategies allow those of us, you know, those parents who feel more lenient about this sort of stuff to still be lenient but still have that relationship in place so their kids can come back to them if they need to, or those that want to put, you know, some stricter boundaries in place but know, too, that, you know, people will get through those. And so, but still having that, you know, ability for kids to come back to them and communicate their concerns. So it kind of gets rid of that, for me, I feel like it got rid of that kind of like, oh, I've got to be stricter.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, I'm so anxious, you know, about this. And it was kind of like, oh, phew, okay, cool, we've got some things in place here. She knows that she can come to me, and I feel that, like, since we've had this conversation, I've got permission now to just check in. Yeah,
absolutely. The family values are what should be used to guide you, and that is, some families do want to be more restrictive because that's what works for them.
Yeah, quite.
The only thing that I have to say is that at some point, though, if you want to be, or if you're feeling that you need to be completely restrictive and you're going, all right, that's it, we're giving up all technology and we're moving out to the middle of nowhere, Can't really do that. There's no jobs. There's no opportunities anymore that doesn't require some online presence. Mm-hmm. So at some point, we're going to want to give our kids the space to make mistakes online when they're still in that safe environment. And especially now as schools are starting to ban phones, the only safe environment for them to make those mistakes will be at home.
Mm. Oh, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, actually. One, they actually do need this digital world. And then the other thing is, as well as that, it's a place where it's okay to make mistakes as long as they've got something in place that keeps them safe too. Yeah.
And they're going to make mistakes. So, yeah.
Yeah, quite.
I think if we come across knowing that, hey, this is some things are going to happen, and I know this is probably not out of scope of what we're talking today, but there is a list of stuff. So when I go into schools and the students do bring up the things that they come across online, I pretty much let the students know starting in year about 4 or 5 that this list that you came up with today, you or one of your friends or somebody that you know is highly likely going to be dealing with these things at some point. So if you have the safety strategy in place, then you're able to nip it in the bud way, way, way early before it becomes a big problem.
Do you think that, like, I'm just thinking about the outliers here in terms of, so there's parents who can be really strict around this sort of stuff. Is there any impact on kids in terms of their digital use as a result of that kind of that parenting?
I can tell you from a school point of view, when they've gone to ban phones, what it's done is made the kids way more clever on how to get around it. So the kids have different ways and different methods to still continue to be able to use the different apps and stuff that they use on their phones within the schools.
Because they'll always be smarter than us.
Yeah, they are smarter than us. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of evidence out there that, well, how about this? So when we go to different schools, we have surveys. And all the schools that we've had that's done the surveys, where the parents have completed one level of surveys and the students have completed surveys. So we have a really good amount of data here. Mm. The parents inevitably always think that they have way more restrictions
than they do.
Than what the kids say. So, yeah.
That's so interesting, isn't it? And then on the other end of that, regarding parents who are really lenient in this area, is there any evidence here that we might see children behaving in another way? Tough question.
So it's a tough question because a lot of it has a lot to do with the student themselves or the young person themselves and what they're capable of doing. Are they, without any of this help, without adults and helping them or guiding them, have they been able to come to these resources on their own? Or maybe they just have that decision-making or that problem-solving skills that are just absolutely outstanding. So it's really hard to say, you know, what exactly is the perfect balance. But the one thing that we do know is, at least in the education space, if we educate all the students, we give them the preventative digital safety strategies, it really doesn't matter if they come from a very restrictive home versus one that isn't quite as restrictive. Because in this case, you're basically talking about restrictions on what they can and can't do on their phones, typically verbal or even through parental controls. That's one thing. What we're doing is trying to give them the tools that when they inevitably come up with something or deal with something online, they can do it. So they are two different things.
Yeah.
So the big thing is no matter what the situation is at home, is just ensuring that our kids know what to do when they come across something. And it's definitely not a good idea to just say, oh, if we don't talk about it, it won't happen. Because evidence is out there that it doesn't really matter. If you're really, really strict and you're really, really protecting, they're still going to see it. Because even though your home might be, you probably have family and you have friends.
Yeah.
So they're probably going over to their house and your friend's house, and they're seeing the stuff or seeing it on the bus or seeing things and doing things. And their friends are talking. I mean, it's constant chatter about what they're seeing and what they're doing.
Okay.
Good answer. More along the lines of, you know, stuff like Snapchat. You know, if you want to be, there's individual apps and stuff that I would recommend, like waiting. Like if you're on Snapchat, there's a good chance that if you have a daughter on Snapchat, she's seen a dick pic. That's just statistically speaking. It's stuff like that that you want to make sure your young people have the tools to be able to deal with. Because it really doesn't matter if they come from a restricted home or not. Chances of their friend going, hey, look what I just got, it's pretty high when they go to school.
Yeah. Good answer. Really good answer. Cool. Top tips.
Just be involved.
One, be involved.
Be involved. Yeah. So you don't have to be the expert in the room at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it too, is that you can come to this just curiously, and it's actually okay for our kids to be the expert too, you know, and to be able to kind of skill us up on this stuff, yeah?
Yep.
Number two?
Number two is set boundaries, and the boundaries will need to adjust as your kids get older and have more things that they can and can't do online.
And it feels like number three is keep that cordial open.
Yeah, have their back.
Yeah.
When they come to the biggest thing, Megan, our trustee, when we got started doing this, she's like, Nisa, if you can just get out to all the parents that they need to have our back. Because if we come to you once, tell you that we made a mistake and you yell at us, we're never coming to you again. And I can guarantee you that these things are going to happen over and over again. So then where are they going to for help? Or are they keeping it in and it's shame? So have their back is
That's right. That's right. And also the kōrero around the boundaries as well, is that kind of keep that open in the sense that they might want to be exploring more things. It's good for you to know about that.
Yeah. And then I finally remembered the other one I wanted to do.
Number four. Let's go with four.
Forgive yourself when you make mistakes.
Please. Yes, please.
And then, the other last thing I would say is that our kids, especially up until the year 7, 8, so up until intermediate age, our kids are modeling what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So model the expectations you want in your kids.
Nice. So appreciate you coming in. What an incredible session. And as I say, I learned loads from you and more today. So what a gift. I just want to reiterate that if you choose to go and have this kōrero with your child, and I do recommend that you do, using the stop, block, and talk kind of strategy around that. But if anything comes up around that where you're worried about what your child says to you and it really concerns you, please, please, please contact NetSafe about that. For digital Waitaha and Nisa's contacts, she's going to give these again to you now.
Yeah, so it's nisa@digitalwaitaha.org.nz, and also we have our wonderful Whānau books online, and they are free to download forever. That's our blue book, and our orange book, that is for our Tamariki, starting in year 5 to year 9. And it'd be fantastic as a parent if you went and filled out those books with your child before they started using any of the social media apps or gaming apps that they do.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing. Bye!